Hello and welcome to another episode on Football Talk Podcast. My name is Ozzy and I'm your host for today's show. We've just completed match week 30 and things are getting heated up. Big talking point of the week is the title race. Liverpool beat Brighton to claim top spot once again. City and Arsenal were involved in a very highly anticipated game, but in the end was a bit of a letdown as the game ended goalless, and both teams will feel like they've missed a big opportunity as they fail to capitalise on this weekend's fixture. In other games, Villa and Spurs managed to notch up some wins to continue their hunt for top four. Manchester United, on the other hand, dropped points and fourth spot seems like some distance away. So let's begin the show with the first game, and that is Liverpool versus Brighton. And here we go, that's the scoreline right there. So not the best of starts for Liverpool, who conceded a very early goal in the opening minute as Danny Welbeck smashes a shot into the top corner to give the Seagulls the lead. But apart from that moment, Brighton never really took charge of the game or created any more attacks from there on. It was Liverpool who switched up and took control of the game, playing some lovely football with great tempo. Liverpool opened the scoreline as Salah heads the ball towards the goal to provide an assist for Luis Diaz, who scores from a flying finish. Not an easy shot to execute, but nevertheless made it look very easy. And I'm personally very pleased for Diaz, who, in my opinion, has been Liverpool's best attacker in recent weeks and in the end got a goal to add to his tally. Liverpool had plenty of chances in the first half to grab the second, especially through Mohamed Salah, who should have converted at least one or two chances. But eventually, he managed to score the second goal in the second half. Lovely play from Szoboszlai, who drills in a fantastic pass from the right-hand side towards McAllister, who matches him and applies a sublime inch-perfect pass to the Egyptian King. He's through on goal and slots the ball into the corner. Great move and finish from the Reds. So overall, a great performance from Liverpool. I think the scoreline doesn't do enough justice in terms of how the team performed, and I think Liverpool should have scored a lot more goals. But regardless, Liverpool got the win in the end against Brighton, who have a decent record against the Reds. And it's actually the first time Klopp has managed to beat the Zerbi before the season concludes. McAllister was absolutely sensational against his former club. 35 million is absolute daylight robbery. And I'm so pleased he's our player. Technically gifted. And I think he has a very high ceiling and can only get better in years to come. He was my man of the match. And some of his passing on show was completely outrageous. This victory puts Liverpool at the top of the table, back where we belong, and I'm all for it. Now, if you followed my channel in the last year or so, you would know that I made Liverpool favourites to win the title. Not because I'm a Liverpool fan. I genuinely believe we had the squad depth to make a serious challenge for the title. Now, a lot of content creators and TV pundits are still sticking with their predictions that either Arsenal or City will win the league. Seems like there's no respect shown for Liverpool, who haven't lost a league game since Christmas. And I feel like that's swept under the rug and no one's given us much of a chance in terms of claiming the title this season. Now, I really want this title for a number of reasons, but mainly because people are doubting our credentials, which is fine. We'll see who's laughing at the end of the season. But for Liverpool, the main focus is that we take one game at a time and now we're back in control of our own destiny. So we're more than capable of winning 9 games in a row. We've done it in past seasons. Why not do it this season as well? So plain and simple, if Liverpool keep winning, eventually we'll be crowned the Premier League champions. And what a send-off it would be for Klopp. But let me not get too ahead of myself. There's plenty of games to play. A lot can happen. But for me, the momentum is back with Liverpool right now. Next fixture, Man City versus Arsenal. Now, this was very much a very hyped game of Match Week 30, but it failed to deliver. A very cagey encounter. We need a team really going for it. So let's discuss some of the key moments. Jesus in the first half has a fantastic chance to give the Gunners the lead, but he failed to hit a shot with real conviction. And then Man City's midfielder Kovacic was very close to scoring from the edge of the box, but his effort just misses the post. In the second half, Jesus probably had one of the biggest chances of the game. As Saka cuts back a pass into the six-yard box, Jesus is sliding to try and make some sort of connection to the ball. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. And that wasn't even the worst miss of the game. City had a glorious chance moments later from a corner as Gvardiol heads it down towards the near post. Haaland is a free man, but completely misses the ball from close range. Trossard has a late shot towards the end of the game, but his shot is straight at the goalkeeper. So overall, lackluster performance for both teams. Pep has been a little bit shameless with his comments after the game. Said that Liverpool are favourites now because they're number one. So the mind games have already begun. Arsenal fans will tell you that the result is a great point. I don't believe it is. Yes, the objective was to get something from the game, but I think they had a better chances to actually seal the victory and they failed to capitalize. And in the end, may regret not taking advantage of this game. But we'll see towards the end of the season if this game had any influence in the title race, or maybe it didn't. Next game, Aston Villa versus Wolves, which ended 2-0 to Villa. They managed to get a crucial win against a tricky opponent in Wolves to stay in the hunt for top four. Wolves maybe should have scored in the first half as Ait Nouri had a shot from close range, saved by the keeper. The wing-back should have buried it. It was pretty much a tap-in for him. But good save from Martinez from the shot there. Villa had some chances through Watkins, who hit the side netting. And Pau Torres also had a header from a free kick. But Villa managed to break the deadlock in the end. And it was Moussa Diaby smashing a shot from outside of the box with real venom to make it 1-0. And then Villa get the second goal of the game with Kwanzaa's fluky cross slash shot hitting the back of the net. But hey, doesn't matter how they hit the back of the net, as long as they count. And that's a great win for Villa, who remain in fourth spot with 59 points. But they've got a tough run of games coming up as they face Arsenal and City in the next few fixtures. So on to your next fixture, Tottenham versus Luton Town. Spurs managed to nick the win in the end, but it wasn't all plain sailing as Luton Town actually opened the score sheet with a great strike from Chong, hit left foot strike, posting in. And then Werner was so close to scoring, but unfortunately his shot was off target. Heung-min Son thought he scored the equaliser, but in miraculous fashion, his effort hits one post, then the other, and somehow didn't even hit the back of the net. It comes out back to the area. Then in pinball fashion, Werner has a shot from the rebound. His effort is blocked by the defender, and then Saar has a chance to hit the target, but his shot is cleared off the line. But Tottenham managed to get the equaliser in the end, but it was through an own goal from Luton's Kabore. And the captain, Heung-min Son, grabs the late match winner in the 86th minute from inside the box. So not an easy win in the end, but a win it was. 3 points in the bag. Spurs are fifth and 3 points away from Villa, but they have a game in hand. So one to look out for in terms of the top four position there. Next fixture, Newcastle versus West Ham, which ended 4-3. What a crazy game this ended up being. 7-goal thriller. It all started with Kofo fouling Gordon in the penalty box. Isaac steps up for the penalty and smashes his shot, posting in to give Newcastle the lead. But then moments later, Antonio equalizes, scoring from close range. Lovely dinked finish, or should I say pass from Paqueta, whose passing was sublime throughout the game. The Hammers then take the lead from a quick free kick as Kudus finds himself at the edge of the box and smashes in a shot into the top corner. Dubravka got a hand to it, but not enough to parry the ball away. West Ham then make it 3-1. Great play from Kudus on the left-hand side to keep the ball in play, and he applies the free ball towards Bowen. He's charging through on goal, one-on-one, clinically finishes with his right foot. But then, for me, this moment was the turning point. Calvin Phillips fouls Gordon in the box and Newcastle are awarded with their second penalty. Now, for me, I don't think it was a penalty and I thought it was quite a harsh decision in the end. It was clearly obvious that Calvin Phillips tried to clear the ball away, but Gordon pretty much put his body on the line, stepped in front of him to make a challenge. But unfortunately for Phillips, he ended up whacking the player rather than the ball. And by the law, I guess, it's a foul. So unlucky for West Ham to concede that penalty. I don't think it was. I think it was a soft one that was given. Isaac steps up for the penalty again. And this time he hits the bottom left corner to make it 3-2. And then Isaac becomes a provider as he threads a lovely through ball to Harvey Barnes, who's through on goal and hits a shot through the keeper's legs. Newcastle have equalized and there's still time to find a winner. And that's exactly what happened in the 90th minute. And it was Harvey Barnes again who smashes in a belter into the bottom corner. Great victory for the Toon Army. The only downer of this result was the fact that Gordon received a second yellow just before the end of the game for time wasting. But nonetheless, a thrilling game for the neutrals and also for Newcastle, who have now moved up to 8th in the table. Now, in terms of other fixtures, Brentford versus Manchester United, we concluded 1-1. Late drama at the G-Tech Stadium as United failed to take all 3 points from the game. The forgotten man, Mason Mount, scores his first goal for the club in the 96th minute to give United the lead. So you can imagine the fans are jubilant and I think they've secured the win. Not today. Brentford got the crucial equaliser in the 99th minute from Simon Ayer's close-range shot. Heartbreak for United fans. But hey, I'm all for it. In terms of the next fixture, we've got Sheffield United versus Fulham, which ended 3-3. A six-goal thriller at Bramall Lane. Brereton Diaz gives the Blaze the lead, scoring from close range. And then João Palhinha equalises with a fantastic guided header from a corner. But Bernie then gives the Blaze the lead again. And then Brereton Diaz scores a fantastic header to make it 3-1 for the Blaze. And then substitute the Cordova Reed smashes a shot from outside the box to make it 3-2. But the man of the hour, Muniz, scores a fantastic scissor kick to give Fulham the equaliser and a valuable point. That's also my goal of the week. What a finish it was from the striker, who's in great form right now. Next fixture, Nottingham Forest versus Palace, which ended 1-1. A point apiece at the City Ground. Mateta gets the opening goal for the Eagles with a fantastic shot, smashed it into the top bins. Chris Wood equalises for Forest with a looping header. For me, the keeper should have done better there. Can't get beaten with those type of shots there. Will Hughes was very close to clinching the win for the Eagles from the corner, but his header hits the post and away from the goal. Next fixture, Chelsea versus Burnley. Billy FC, as I like to call him, failed to get the win in the end, but they were gifted with probably the softest penalty I've ever seen. The Burnley fullback touches Mudryk with the faintest of contacts, but somehow Mudryk drops to the ground and the ref points at the penalty spot. Asignon unfortunately gets a second yellow, is sent off, and to make it worse, Burnley manager Vincent Kompany is also sent off for his outrage. Cole Palmer steps up for the corner and applies a lovely dinked finish, calm and collected as you expect, but Burnley respond with fantastic fashion with a great strike from Cullen. Then Palmer then makes it 2-1 with a lovely finish from inside the box. Nice 1-2 with Sterling. But Burnley, they never gave up and got the equaliser in the 81st minute through O'Shea's header. Sterling has a glorious chance to grab the winner. But unfortunately, his close-range header completely misses the target. Awful miss, to be fair. But Burnley almost got the winner themselves. But Jay Rodriguez's effort hits the crossbar. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to score from the rebound. Next fixture, you've got Bournemouth versus Everton. Now, the Cherries got the win at the Vitality Stadium and a 2-1. Everton, for me, should have been awarded a penalty as Calvert-Lewin was tripped in the box. But nothing given. Play was waved on. In the end, Solanke opened the scoreline for Portsmouth. Portsmouth. They're not even in this league. A nice header from close range. And Neto drops the ball from across and ends up awarding Beto the Everton striker, with the equaliser. But Everton threw it away at the last minute of the game as Coleman somehow chested it down and ends up hitting the back of the net. Very bizarre moment from the defender that unfortunately could end up being very costly for Everton's Premier League campaign. So that's my match week 30 review. Just got a few comments here that I'll go through. We've got Redbird Dino. Thank you for your comment, Redbird. He says, the official will do all they can to stop us winning the league. 9 to go and 9 being my lucky number. We've got this. Hey, you're on the same boat as me. 9 is my lucky number as well. So yeah, fingers crossed we get the job done. And he said, did you hear about Brighton wanting to sue us over Mac 10? The Kings of Robbery. Yeah, I said it earlier on, Redbird. Daylight robbery. So they have a case, if I'm being honest with you. You know, but hey, we keep it moving. Daz says, blessed to Redbird. I'll just big up yourself, Daz. Thank you for tuning in. And we've got Jamie Phillips, Football Chat. Says, big up, fella. Big up, Jamie. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your comment as well. And then, yeah, Daz is always just giving his wishes to Jamie as well. Big up, mate. So, yeah, big up, everyone in the chat. So before we conclude the show, as I always do every week, it's time to announce the FPL Manager of the Week. And that goes to William Ede, and his team name is Japa 2.0, and he managed to acquire 76 points. Well, so well done to him. I think making Son your captain was a smart move and certainly gave you the edge from other FPL managers. So well done to William. That point tally has helped him climb up the table to 40th position. Now, in terms of my performance, it wasn't too shabby, and I wasn't too far off from William's score. I actually managed to get 66 points, so only 10 points off. And that tally has actually allowed me to climb up the table. I think I'm in 42nd position. So, yeah, overall, satisfying my points. The new game week has actually begun today as we've got midweek fixtures. So hopefully everyone's remembered to update their teams. But what I'll do before we close the show, I will present the FPL table and let's see if there's any movers and shakers in our league. So as you can see, so we can't see the progress because we started a new match week, but we can just announce who's in the top 10. So Jordan is at top spot with his team called Not Sure. Joseph Harrelson is second with Hozov FC. Vivian Mahan is in third position with the special one. Ali Askar Mosaferi is fourth with Ali Piero FC. Anas Patla Abubakar is FPL Docker. He is in fifth position. Teo Aziz is in sixth. Lebanese Saka is seventh. Sebastian Tunic is eighth. George Bisset is ninth. And Nana Sara, who was pretty much top of the table for quite a while, has dropped to 10th. So, yeah, so I would say probably the usual names that we see in the top table. So, yeah, let's see how it goes. We've still got 9 weeks to go. And yeah, let's see how many points we're all able to notch up until the end of the season. So yeah, so that's the end of the show. So thank you to everyone for tuning in or listening to the show. As you all know, I am available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. If you haven't already, please don't forget to like, share, follow, and subscribe to the channel. We're 9 subs away from reaching 200 on YouTube. So please help spread the word and help the channel continue to grow and achieve our milestone. Lots of content coming up for you guys this week. Tomorrow, I'll be doing a match preview of Liverpool versus Sheffield United. Then on Thursday, 3 back-to-back shows. First, I'll be doing a watch-along of the game of Liverpool and Sheffield United. And then I'll be doing a match reaction at 10 p.m. to give you guys a platform to call in and give me your thoughts of the game. And then 11 p.m., we'll wrap up the evening with a match preview of Manchester United versus Liverpool, a big game in the league, and time to get revenge from that FA Cup defeat that we suffered a few weeks ago. Also, quick announcement, I've started a new clothing brand called Oswald. I'll play the promo towards the end of the show. So please show your support. All the designs are custom made by yours truly. I'll start wearing a few more of the shirts during the show so you can see the quality for yourself. It's also free shipping worldwide, so feel free to have a browse and make your purchase today. And that brings the end of the show. So thank you for everyone for tuning in. Just got a comment here from Daz, who says, when are you doing a preview for Aussie for Thursday. So I'll be doing it tomorrow, Daz. So tomorrow, 10 p.m., I'll be doing a match preview of Liverpool versus Sheffield United. So yeah, games are coming thick and fast. Two games this week. So yeah, a lot to look forward to. So yes, everyone, take care, stay safe, and I hope to speak to you all very, very soon. Goodbye. Welcome to Ozworld, the home of custom and unique designs referencing the football world. Our designs are tailor-made for all football fans, so express your views through the clothing you wear. Purchase your shirt today at ozworld.co.uk.